96.3 and you're with Guriel Ali. Nice to be with you today. And it's time now for Ministry Profile. And this morning I'm very privileged. I'm speaking with Pastor Danny Nalia, who is with Catch the Fire Ministries. He's pastors in Hallam, Catch the Fire Church. Good morning to you, Pastor Danny.
It's good to be back on 96.3.
Pastor Daniel, can I call you Danny? Daniel,
Daniel possibly is good because Daniel was in the lion's den.
He was. Daniel, you're infamous, you're notorious, aren't you, in Victoria, Australia?
Well, I think if Jesus was walking the earth, they would have said the same of him, you know?
Probably.
He was very controversial.
He was. It's nice to meet you finally. I've been aware of your ministry for many years, of course.
Thank you.
And of course, now with this election coming up, you have a big part to play in this. But
that's right.
We'll talk about Rise Up Australia Party very shortly. But because it's a ministry profile, I want to talk about your life because we want to profile your ministry.
Thank you.
So now, you were born in Sri Lanka.
That's correct.
I love Sri Lanka and I love Sri Lankan food.
You can't miss the Sri Lankan tea.
And the hoppers. I love the hoppers.
Now we are making my mouth water.
So I love the curry. Nobody can cook a curry like a Sri Lankan. Yeah.
Well, it was very interesting. I invited someone home and we had hoppers and they wanted to know if it was made out of grasshoppers.
Daniel, now you're born in Sri Lanka. Of course, now there are many religions there on Sri Lanka. It was a Christian home?
Well, interestingly, I thank the British who came on Sri Lankan soil 150 years ago or 200 years ago because my grandfather was a Hindu who became a Christian and then became a Methodist minister.
Wow. So granddad was a Methodist minister?
That's correct. So I have a good heritage.
Very good heritage.
Of course, born in a garage does not make you a car.
That's right.
So I never walked a Christian life. My father was one of the town's alcoholics, notorious alcoholics in the area where we lived in.
Is that right?
And so I had a pretty messed up life when I was a young boy. My mother was a very God-fearing woman who continued to pray for our family all the time for salvation because she's the one who first came to the Lord. And then she would pray and I would be a nightclub drummer in the pubs and hotels and places like that.
So you're a young man at this stage.
That's correct, yes. Yeah. And I would come at all odd hours of the night at 3-4 in the morning, see my mother praying by the lounge room couch. When I would walk in, she would get up and walk in without saying a word, and I would try to get into the house without her knowing. But she would always be there to say, "Hassan, you're back home, I'm happy." Her prayers brought me to salvation.
Isn't that amazing? Where was the turnaround?
1983, I was about 20 years of age at that time. I was quite young. I had done a lot of things which people who had done over 10, 15, 20-year period of time, I did it in about 7 years. And I was invited to a youth camp where Brian Houston and Mel Fletcher were the preachers.
Now, our Australian Brian Houston and Mel Fletcher.
That's correct, yes.
Mel Fletcher from Youth Alive and
that's correct.
Brian Houston from Hillsong.
That's correct.
They were preaching in Sri Lanka.
That's correct.
And at your youth camp.
That's correct.
Wow.
And I think it was the third day, I was still mucking around. I was not serious at all of getting saved or giving my life to Jesus. But you can't run away from the Lord. When the Holy Spirit touches you, you're touched. But that day, Jesus came into my life and changed my life completely, turned it right side up. It was upside down.
Mm.
Ever since that day, I never turned back. I only know how to forward slide. I don't know how to backslide.
So are you one of those Christians that felt like a calling from day one?
I knew the Lord had called me
into ministry.
In 1983, I gave my heart to Jesus. It took me 3 years to turn around from the lifestyle that I was living. Come 1987, I got married, had two children by 89. 91, we had our second. And of course, we had a third 15 years later.
Right.
She's Australian.
Yes.
All Australians. Right.
But you before you came to Australia, you ended up in Saudi.
That's correct. So I went to Saudi Arabia with no intentions of preaching or doing anything. I just went on a job transfer by my American company that I work for.
Right. Saudi, there they have Sharia law, is that right?
Sharia law, Christianity is a criminal offense. Any other religion other than Islam, if it's practiced, you can be beheaded.
So here you are, you're a Christian man with a Christian calling and you're working in Saudi.
That's correct.
That's Daniel in the lion's den.
Oh, tell me about it. I think the first time I was forced to watch three people getting beheaded under Sharia law gave me the creeps. But I tell you what, I don't know how to explain this. The harder it became, the stronger I became. The challenges were hard and strong because we couldn't use the word Bible, Jesus, or church on a telephone conversation. You got arrested.
But you were threatened, weren't you? You had some Bibles in your possession.
I was involved to smuggle Bibles into Saudi Arabia. My house was the safe house. I used to get 1,800 Bibles in 13 languages once in 3 weeks. And once I distributed 800 Bibles and I had 400 Bibles remaining on the lounge room table, when the Saudi Secret Service raided my house with 20 soldiers armed with 8 machine guns. They had to take two steps into my home. Today I sit here, Guriel, and I say, thank you, Jesus, you are really alive. Because that day Jesus miraculously saved our whole family from death and destruction. And he proved to me that you can be in the lion's den and still come out alive. All I can say is when my door was banged at 1 o'clock in the morning, I jumped out of my bed and I ran to the front door, looked through the spy hole, and I saw 20 soldiers standing at the door, 8 of them armed with machine guns. At once my mind went to the 400 Bible sitting on the lounge room table, because the enemy started telling me, tonight you will not see your family ever again, you'll be beheaded, your wife will be raped and killed, your children, you'll never see them again. Fear gripped my heart. I had to turn to Christ and I shouted, Jesus, where are you? At that moment I heard the voice of the Lord. The word of God says, my sheep hear my voice, no one can snatch them out of my hands. And the word of the Lord came to me, 1,000 on your side and 10,000 on your right shall fall. Nothing shall touch you. Stand strong. My blood is on your doorpost. No one who is not authorized can enter your home.
Wow.
Stand up now in my name.
Wow.
It's easy said than done, Guriel, but I had to take the stand because there was no other option. I remember running into the bedroom, hugging my wife and children goodbye, kissing them and saying, Jesus will come through. One side of me said, I'll be okay. Jesus will come through. Another side of me said, I might never see them again.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
I ran back to the front door. My wife and children were praying. And I looked into the commander's eyes straight off. And quietly, not loudly, not with an audible voice, I started saying, in Jesus' name, get out, Satan. You can't touch me now, my family. For 2 minutes, the guy didn't speak one word. He just stared in my eyes. I stared in his eyes. And at that point, the Holy Spirit said, he can't remember why he has come to your house. I've confused him.
Oh my goodness.
Wanted to shout hallelujah, but I thought it would be better to be quiet.
Better be quiet.
After 2 minutes, the guy shouted, Habibi Ikama, meaning mate identification. I took it and gave it to him. The guy looked at it. He looked at the whole unit. The whole unit was waiting for him to give the order to enter my house. But he couldn't find the direction because God confused him. 6 times he looked at my identification, looked at the platoon, shoved the identification back into my hands and he said, Shukran Habibi. That means thank you, mate. I said, Afran Habibi, meaning don't mention, mate. And he turned around and he shouted at the whole unit, Yalla, Yalla. And he literally chased all the officers out. None entered my home. I'm still alive to tell the story.
Oh, my goodness. What a frightful experience.
It was absolutely scary. I don't know how I can explain it. All I can say is God's grace saw me through.
So much so that you survived Saudi, but you then immigrated to Australia.
That's correct, in 97.
That was 97, and I reckon it must be around that time that I first heard of your name. It's like you were thrust into the limelight straight away, as soon as you arrived.
That's correct. And so I became quite known all across the country very quickly.
Not just in the church, may we say, because the media has been well aware of you for a long time.
That's correct. That's because in 2002, as everyone knows, that I was taken to court on vilification charges by the Islamic Council of Victoria.
Sure.
In other words, we were almost going to lose our right to preach Jesus as the only way to heaven. That was the legislation. It was a bad piece of legislation which said, No one can claim any exclusiveness. Anyone can sue each other. For example, if I told someone, Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Yes.
And someone else who is not a believer listens to that conversation, he had the right to sue me based on the fact that I hurt his feelings. Under legislation, under the Westminster's code, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. Under this law, you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent.
That's right. Detrimental. There's been a lot of threat to our freedom of speech in this country. Well, I think that it's happening again. I think that they've turned the heat up again.
Yeah, what's interesting, Guriel, is that I had a 5-year court battle. During this time, I had death threats, firebombing threats, kidnapping threats of my children from school.
Yes.
$600,000 I had to raise for funds to fight the court case. Ultimately, we won the case after a five-year battle, 40 days of full court hearing. We won the case in 2007 at Supreme Court.
2007.
2007, 22nd June, which is actually this month.
But Danny, the fight's not over because I just heard of a Catholic bishop in Tasmania who was taken to court because somebody took exception to what he said just in a newsletter.
That's correct.
It cost them $180,000, the Catholic Church, $180,000 to defend a man's freedom of speech.
Yeah, what is interesting is that my case, after I won the case, I remember Prime Minister John Howard inviting me to his office in Federal Parliament and welcoming me and thanking me for standing up for the country and bringing back freedom of speech. But at that point, he said, Daniel, what you have done is going to set a precedence for future cases such as this one. When someone is taken to court, they'll have a case to look to.
Is that right?
As a defense. Currently, there are 83 vilification cases across the world. where they're using my court case as their defense right now.
Incredible. Life's changed again for you now because you're heading up a political party in Victoria.
That's correct. So in 2010, the Lord just pretty strongly put in my heart. He said, I want you to start a political party and be a voice in this nation for... And I said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, what do I do? He said, I want you to start a new political party. And I said, Lord, me? A black fellow from Sri Lanka to start a political party in Australia sounds really upside down.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. God's plan is always seems upside down. He takes the unthinkable and makes it something powerful. And here we are today contesting the federal election for the second time. And I'll be standing as the number one Senate candidate for the state of Victoria.
Okay.
They're running Senate candidates across the country.
Pastor Daniel, as we go, look, I know that this is a critical time in our country. This is probably one of the most important elections in our time.
Very important, because if the legislations which are coming through Parliament currently, same-sex marriage is one of them. That secondly, late-term abortion, which is in Victoria, up to birth, you can abort a child, and it's absolutely cruel the way it happens.
Up to birth.
Up to birth. And then the third thing is the safe school program, which is an unsafe school program where yep. children at 5, 6, 7 years old can tell their parents what clothes they want to wear. If he's a boy, he can say, I'm a girl, I want to dress as a girl. I can go to anyone's toilet. And that's a recipe for disaster.
We're sexualizing our children.
Exactly. And my stand has been, you put the fence on top of the mountain, you don't need an ambulance at the bottom of the mountain.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah. So what I'm saying to people this election is, don't go based on what people tell you.
Danny, we've run out of time. If people want to find out more about your party and your ministry, what's the best thing to do?
You could go to the Rise Up Australia Party website. That's riseupaustraliaparty.com. Riseupaustraliaparty.com.
And not only that, but there are some resources there on how to make your vote count, aren't there?
That's correct. We have all the information how to vote this election.
We've been speaking with Pastor Daniel Nalia, who is pastor of Catch a Fire in Hallam, the church there, and also leading the Rise Up Australia Party. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to be on the program once again. God bless.